He then took another step forward and said, is that the cure for that is a concept called Ava v'simcha sheni tolu b'dovo. Is there such a thing as Ava v'simcha sheni tolu b'dovo? We came to the conclusion, yes, but we said that in order to achieve that, a person has to know who he is. In Perek Beis, we had the question that we asked and we hope we're answering now. Mi ani, who am I really? Neto, in depth, in Pnimius. Because I can't have simcha va'ava for something I don't know and I don't understand, I don't have shaykhus to. And if I want to have Avas Hashem and simcha sachaim, I need to know who I am. So we mentioned we're going to take a journey, we're going to go around the world a few times and come to a nakuda where we understand who we are really, or at least theoretically know what the words are of who we are really, so that we can then go further and deal with many of the kashas and difficulties facing us against the backdrop of really having a clear definition of who we are. So that's really where we're coming to now. Hopefully we'll get to finish it today, is come to the end of that journey, which is just the beginning of the next journey. But at least to put into context what we're doing here, these aren't isolated little pieces. Let's go from page Dalit at the bottom of the page. Kashe kol adam yavin emes noirezu. When a person understands properly this awesome truth, kani kaviyachol bnei yechidu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am an only son of Hashem, v'gam kolosot shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm also Hashem's wife, with all the definitions we've spoken about what that means, v'gam yavin sheyesh lo tafkid miyuchad ba'olam. He must come to the conclusion that he has a unique purpose in this world. Tafkid sho'isel lo yoichol lebtzeya shum nivra acher. That nobody else can fulfill this tafkid. That means if I don't fulfill my tafkid, the unique tafkid I came into this world to do, it's never going to get fulfilled. Which means ultimately that kol klal Yisrael will never come to fruition. The same as if there's an ois in the Sefer Torah missing, or if there's an ois in the Sefer Torah in the wrong place, or there's an ois in the Sefer Torah that's not sholem the entire Sefer Torah's possible, so too, yeah, kol Yisrael is an ois in the Sefer Torah. Klal Yisrael cannot fulfill its ultimate mission in the world if I don't fulfill my mission. Bishvili nivra olam. Ala adam lachshoiv. Yesh li nekuda v'tafkid shebishvilim nivrosi. There's a unique purpose that I have, that for that purpose I was created. Uba ani yochid b'olami. And I'm completely unique. There's no one else in the world like me. That's where you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are incredibly intimate. He uses Chede Yichud. Adam Amnam Yoichel Lekadesh Kama Noshim Bebasachas. How many women can you Mekadesh at one time? 100. You put 50 women in front of you and you say to all of them, you are all Mekadesh to me, but Tabat Zu, each one give them a Tabat, you Mekadesh.
But you're not allowed to be because of the
Gezeira. It's not the Gezeira, the Raisa. All at the same time. You point 50 shlichim, and as you say, the Kiddush is lead, but the Tabat Zu, he gives each one a shlich. Mekudosh. 50 women are Mekudosh. Uva mitzvahs yichud. How many women can you go into the Chede Yichud with? You can only marry Nisuin one woman at a time. Hashem's relationship with each one of us is in the Chede Yichud. Every Jew has a different Nisuin, every Jew has different talents, has a different bag of tools, which tell him very clearly what his job is. But it doesn't look like anybody else's. There's only things that only he can do, no one else can do them. The whole world's waiting for me. When's Shur going to get his act together? The world can carry on doing what it's supposed to be doing. The whole world's waiting. Because without that, the world cannot come to its final fruition. And this is very halacha l'maisa. This is real. You've got to find out who you really are, what your unique tafkid is, and if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. It's the beginning of the Mesillas Yesharim, not the end. Mesillas Yesharim starts off very clearly telling every Jew, person needs to know Ma Chavosa Ba'olam Moy. What his obligation in his world is. It's in the singular, not in the plural. Each Jew has to discover what his unique tafkid in the world is. You know what we're living for? If a Jew goes to bed at night and he doesn't know what he's living for, he has to ask himself before he goes to bed, what am I living for? And wait patiently for the answer to come. You can't start without that. It's not ideal. That's the basis beginning of a Jew's life. He has to know what's my unique tafkid in the world. Rav Dessa says you start doing that by looking at the unique talents that you have. You start looking at the unique kelim that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's given you. How does a plumber know that he's a plumber? He opens up his tool bag and he sees there's not tools for an electrician. He sees there's plumbing tools there, so he realizes, oh, I'm supposed to be a plumber. The Jew has to open up his bag of kelim that Hashem gave him and ask himself, how could I go about using these tools? What are the unique tafkidim that I can do with my unique tools? To do that, a person needs to know what his koyches are. He's got to know what he's, we'll see, he's going to say it over the page. The Tzaddik says it mefurish. Let's just read it now, because you've asked. Kashem tzarich adam la'amin ba'ashem yizbarach. Kach tzarich acha kach la'amin ba'atzmai. You've got to believe in Hashem. You have imun and betochen in Hashem. After that, you have to have imun and betochen in yourself. We'll finish when we get there. I think it was Rabbi Rucham or the Alt of Slobodka. I can't remember who it was. Either Rabbi Rucham or the Alt of Slobodka said the most important thing for a person to know is what his chesreinus are. Just think, well, what his chesreinus are. But there's something more important. That's the most important thing, but there's something more important. He needs to know what his milas are. The person needs to know what his strengths are. If you don't know what your strengths and weaknesses are, you don't know who you are. The person has a business. No, he knows where the business is weak. He knows where the business is strong. He knows where he's making profit. He knows where he's making a loss. He knows how to juggle and balance those things. That's how he runs his business. He knows where the business needs chizuk. He knows where the business can be left alone for a while. So a person has to know himself. You're a business. If we would look after ourselves the way we looked after our businesses, we'd be in a much better spiritual shape. It requires constant chizuk because we forget. The tendency of the Yetzer Hara in these inyanim is just to forget. We go through life. You have morning, you put on tefillin, you dive, and you put on tefillin the same way as the guy next to you put on tefillin? Of course not. Completely two different halachas tefillin. The way I put on tefillin, the way I put some tefillin, two completely different experiences. But that doesn't mean that that's my tafkid in the world. We all have tafkidim that look the same. We all have to keep tarag mitzvahs. But there's something unique about my relationship with Hashem that no one else can have. Kan aleinu lohisif. Ki alibe de'em azachrei kichlei sakoyl amnam biranu v'achover shakorosh boruch hu sideh v'nivra esa'ilo ba'ifim kezu shanachnu kivachol meisnim lo es toraseinu mitzvaseinu v'adraseinu. We have to just add here that after everything's been said, and we've explained very carefully and at length that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in such a way that kiviyochol, we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu our Torah and our mitzvahs and our voida, as we've explained at length before. Kadayin olul ha-koyre litmoya. You should still be a bit wonderful, but amazed. Nicha, all very well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarech es kol yudi oived Hashem. Kol echad v'nisoyin v'amyuchud shelo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs, good, understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs every Jew who's oived Hashem, each one with his unique nisoyin and his unique love. V'matzavah v'bekol prate p'chayev yesh b'em nachas ruach miyuchad l'boreila. Each person in his unique details of his life gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, Nachas ruach miyuchad lebor oilom. Ach keitzad novin, but how do we understand ki yudi she'enu makayim shum mitzvah be mitzvah satayim? How do you understand that a Jew who's not keeping any mitzvahs, nothing, he's machal Shabbos and his oichel treifus v'nevelus. Gam bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu muchan kviyochel lashkia kol kachah, but look how much Hashem invests in him. How do we understand that? I understand when I'm performing and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm putting bucks into the business. Fine, I understand. You can invest in me. But I understand when the guy's not just not investing in the business, he's mazik the business. How does Hashem invest in him as well? Where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really want to give us the schar and the pleasure and everything that he wants to give us for what we're doing? It's not in this world, it's in Olam Haba. As we know, the Lashon of the Mishnah. This world is just a preparatory room before you enter into the real world. This is where you get to spruce yourself up. This is where you get to pack the goods for the journey. This is where you get to sort yourself out before you go into the real world. We have to understand there's certain things we can't understand. We have limited intellect, we're finite, and to understand much of the Bria, you need to be infinite. Ladugma, lo nuchal avin man noisen la kodesh boruch hu rega b'chayv shel yudi ployni sheini oise b'poil b'uma. What is a person who's lying in a coma, vegetated, not doing anything, what is 1 minute of his life giving to the world, to Hashem? You understand that? We saw the halachas. His life is valuable. We don't know how valuable it is. His life in our eye, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, could be just as valuable as the God of Ador, who's Oisek and Poel Kol Yom in Torah v'mitzvahs. Because you can't shorten this coma vegetable's life for half a second to save the life of the God of Ador. We saw that. Do we understand that? Anybody want to explain to me what that? No, we don't. We don't understand it. Yitochen kihu nishlach lo'ilam letaken chatoim. We could understand it, and many questions we understand through the sugya of Gilgulim. Could be he came up to Masakan things from a previous life that needs tikkun. Yitachen ki hun nishlach loilam letaken chatoim mehapam akadem shaboilam. Yitachen gam bakach nishmosa mizdakeches yoyse. His neshama is getting more polished. Bakach yitoichel b'yosin leshuv lemakor shememenu chutzpa letzor letzuruch haim. He can go to higher levels in Olam Haba. Any tanu yoida alma, we don't know. We have no access to this knowledge. Hadvarim murkovim lepratim lerivoy salflofu va'ein sichleinu akat mesugal asigom. Not just him. There's many cheshbonos of everybody that's affected by his position. The fact that this person, God forbid, is lying in a coma, so his wife's affected, his children, the people that worked in his business are for every. There's multiple cheshbonos that we can't begin to understand. Which we understand, we can't begin to understand Hashem. Hashem's got things floating around in the sky. I just saw a picture of one from the Hubble telescope that's 23 trillion kilometers big. I've got a picture of it. It's 23 trillion kilometers. That's 12 zeros. 23 trillion kilometers from top to bottom. And that's just one out of trillions, and they're moving around at speeds that are beyond comprehension. These things are flying around at light speed. And they have names. Everyone has a name. That's what we're talking about. That's Hashem. And that's nothing. That's just 10% of what there is out there. That's what we know. So you want to understand everything about Hashem? You have to be very pathetic. 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 Nebuch. The person thinks he can understand everything to understand about Hashem. Ridiculous. The most liberating thing is to know that we don't understand everything about Hashem, so therefore you don't have to understand everything. What you have to understand, try and understand to the best of your ability. But we don't get disturbed and freaked out and miserable because we don't understand everything. We don't understand anything, we don't want everything. We hard to understand one Rashi in Chumash. Nam chish zois b'moshel. כיום בעולם המחשבים ניתן לשלוח קבוצה נתונים במחשב למחשב. We have in the world of computer, you can send a file from one computer to another. לפעמים נתקל איש המחשבים בתגובה המחשב אין די זיכרון במחשב שלך להכיל כואב את זה. Sometimes you get a little message on your computer that says you don't have enough memory to transfer this file or to receive this file or whatever. You have that on your computer? Yeah? Not enough memory. You've got enough memory. Did it happen to you?
The good old days, you had a
spy. It used to happen often. Yeah, today it doesn't happen so often.
Now you have infinite memory.
We have clouds and all sorts of weird things. But this is an old safer. This is an old-fashioned safer. Yeah. Ein dai zikaron b'machshev shelcha la'achil koivet zeh. אם ניצא לרזמס הדבורים, ניתן לדמוס זו יש למצב שבו נבקש מהקורש בו חוטט לנו יש קויבץ הנתונים, התומן ברגע חיים של יהודי. Oscar Shem, please will you give me the file that explains what the value of this vegetable in the coma, what his value of his life is. Please send me the file. אז התשובה היא, אין די בזה קורונה, מה יחשב שלך לאחר קויבץ זה? You'll get a little flashing thing on the screen saying, sorry, you don't have enough. You don't have enough cloud storage space for you to deal. You don't have the processor. The processor can't handle this file. Correct. You don't even have the program. Excellent. Good, good. Keep going. Yeah. Gam im nafuch es kol ha'olam kulo lemach shel machshev hu lo yeh mesugel la'achil zos. Take all the machshavim in the world and put them all together and get them all working together. You don't have enough. You don't have it. Can't process it. Kerene oisukim benetzach. We're dealing with eternity here. Nitzchis ein seifis kezula yoichel b'shum oifen litgameh v'litchel b'mizgeret ha'avonashim. We're dealing with infinite. And when you're dealing with infinite, you have to step back and say, okay, it's infinite. Infinite. How big's infinite? Infinite. It's ridiculously disturbing, but that's what it is. Ach zois meida bebiru. What we need to know and what we have to internalize and get clear, learn this off by heart, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarich rege shel kol yehudi. If I'm still alive, that means Hashem wants me here, otherwise I wouldn't be here. Yesh lo bo tachlis atzume shilamalem mesogoseni. We have enormous purposes and reasons for being here that is way beyond our understanding. And you have to believe in yourself. This is the tzaddik talking. Hashem has got business with you. Rishainu poil bottle shebein laila yo bein laila abed chas v'chilil. Hashem's got work with you, and you're a poil bottle. Hashem didn't put you in the world, yeah, just to sort of hang around until he finds something for you to do. Rach tzarich lahamin ki nafshoi mimakor achayim yisbarach shmoy. Person has to have imuna, you must know that your neshama comes from Hashem itself. V'Hashem yisbarach mis'aneg u'mishtasheya bo. Hashem has enormous pleasure v'shashua, mishtasheya. It's an unbelievable word, that mishtasheya. If you want to put it into our language, Rav Pinkus Zatzal used to always use this phrase. Hashem goes bananas for us. Goes bananas. Bananas, just he possesses with love for us. That you have to know. Ah, how does the creator of the universe that makes 23 trillion, million, billion, infinite stars and subatomic particle, whatever, how does he love me? That's hard. Well, why that should be our problems? So that be a problem that Hashem's too big for us. We understand Hashem so well that it is. He's too big and I'm too small and therefore he can't love me. Why that would be a problem? What's the answer to that question? Is I'm a chelek of that infinite. I'm a chelek elokamima. That's how Hashem can love me because we min b'mino. Okay. That answers the question we started with here a couple of months ago. Mi ani. Obviously this requires work. This doesn't happen in one day. This doesn't happen in one month. Constant dropping water on the stone.
Is the Rav saying that the world...
I'm not saying anything.
No,
this Rav. This Rav, yeah? Okay.
Is the Rav saying that the world will only receive it, they get its tikkun, everybody knows what his tachlis is?
And does it.
And does it. So, how is it achievable if 75% of the people don't know that?
90%.
Whatever.
And of the 10% that are keeping Torah and mitzvahs, how many know machavasa balamoy? 1% of the 10%?
What's
going to be? I don't know. Why is it my problem? I've got to do what I have to do. And Hashem has to do what he has to do. As Rav Taube's mother told Rav Taube, when he said to her, what were you doing having children in Auschwitz? What were you doing running around having babies in the middle of the Milchama? She said, I'm a Jew. Jew got to do what he's got to do. Hashem's Hashem. He's got to do what he's got to do. I don't interfere in his world, I don't interfere in our world. Hashem says, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, if the Klal Yisrael is not Chayza B'Tshuva when they're supposed to be Chayza B'Tshuva, it could be that the final Tachlis and expression of our real Tachlis will only be in Yemos HaMashiach, during the 1,000 years when we're going to be able to really fulfill our Tafkid. When we go back to Adam Rishon before the Chet, and then we can really fulfill our Tachlis. But if we are now, we have a Tachlis now. We have to find out what a Tachlis is and do the best we can. What about everybody else? Where your tachlis is to help other people do what they're supposed to be doing, you have to do it. And when it's not your tachlis, stop worrying about everybody else. Do what you've got to do. I'm a Ben Yochid, so I'm an only child. So I don't have to worry about all the other kids in the house, because there aren't any other kids in the house, because I'm an only child. What's the problem? Just do what you have to do. You're right. Every time I drive into Tel Aviv or to Rishon LeZion or whatever, and I think, how are we going to get all these people to do tshuva? Mashiach's not going to come to all the Jews to do tshuva. How are we going to do it? You know what the answer is? We'll make kind of one Jew at a time, and when Hashem's ready, he'll do what he has to do. I do my job. The Briskerov gave us an important, important klal. Put this in your pocket and take this with you. It's a very powerful tool. Very, very powerful tool. He once told Rav Shlomo Lawrence. You know, Shlomo Lawrence was the Chavre Knesset in those days of the Haredi Chavre Knesset. He was very close with the Gedolim, and he wrote an amazing sefer, the Mechitzosim. In there, well, has it been translated in English? What's it called in English?
The
Mechitzosan in English. It's they've translated the book that's been translated to English, whatever. It's all these stories about all the relationship he had with all the God Israel, that he, in dealing with all the things that a Haredi Chavre Knesset in Israel had to deal with. Amazing, amazing insights. Genius of these people. Yeah. The Briskerov once told Shlomo Lawrence the following you saw. He said, when you get to Shemayim, they're not going to ask you if they did the job. Did you get the job completed? Did you do this? Did you do that? All they're going to ask you is, did you do everything you could do? Did you do everything you could do? That you're going to be asked. What happened after that? You're not responsible for that. That's not your tasks. That means, even if it's impossible, it's impossible. Nothing's going to come from this. Doesn't matter. You have to do what you have to do. Assuming that's what you have to do. No one's asking you to do things that are ridiculous. But if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do. Do it. What happens in the end? What happens in the end? It'll either be Matzliach or won't be Matzliach. He told two stories from his life. The one that caused him to tell Rav Shlomo Lawrence it wasn't Matzliach. And the other one where it was Matzliach, but not because of what he did. It was just, it happened to be a miracle. It happened, and then that's what happened. But he said, at the end of the day, I don't have to give Din V'Cheshbon, was I Matzliach or not. I have to give Din V'Cheshbon, did I do everything I could do? Ask yourself, did I do everything? Yeah, but that's impossible. That's not going to happen. That we trip ourselves up all the time thinking about, but it's not, yes, well, this is what you have to do. Do it. How do you know whether it's what you have to do or not? Well, that's why there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says, Asel Acharav. Yeah. That's one problem. The other problem is I get stuck in what I'm supposed to be doing. Since I don't see how anything's going to come from this, I don't do it. Hashem's not going to ask you where you're matzliach or not. He's going to ask you, did you do what you were supposed to do?
I say to my children, I don't care how you do the test. As long as you get your best.
I don't know if I'll tell them one thing. Now you're asking chinuch shalas.
No, I'm saying, but
now there's a complex shalas you just asked. What you asked is not a simple question, and that's why I don't want to give the wrong answer. You should never say to your kids, I don't care what you get in the test as long as you did the right work. You write what you say, but you never say that to a kid. You never say to a kid, I don't care how you do on the test. Forget about the test. You tell the kid,
did you
do the best you could? Well done. You didn't? Take a punch. But never say to him, I don't care how you do on the test. Yeah, next.
Just do your best.
Did you do what you were supposed to do?
Not that guy. Forget everybody.
Forget
else.
Everybody else. Unless that everybody else is part of your what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah? But yeah. But more than that, even if there was no one else in the world, stop worrying about the end result. Ask yourself, did I do everything I could do? That's all. Did I do everything I could? In the world of Ishtadlus, we have this all the time. You've got a daughter, let's take a common example. There's a Shidduch crisis in the world. Yeah, so let's use the Shidduch crisis. you have a daughter's getting older, whatever, and you're phoning shatchanim and you're doing and you're working, whatever, it's great, it's not happening or whatever. So how do we feel? We feel miserable and terrible. Maybe I should not do enough. We start feeling guilty. We start blaming ourselves. Did you do everything you could do? Yes, a bit of bad. What's the problem? It's got nothing to do with you anymore. Well, is it your problem? If you did everything you could, or everything that you were obligated to do, you've done everything you're supposed to do, to get a bed, what's the problem? Many stories from the Biskarov's life that indicates this. He's were in much bigger nisoinus than we have or whatever, but the principle is the principle. Do whatever you have to do, and after that, it's not your problem anymore. That's part of the nisoin, no? That's part of the nisoin. If somebody comes to you with good advice and says, have you tried this? And you go, well, tuck it up. I never thought about doing that. Maybe Monday I can put that effort in as well, so make the extra effort. If the guy's stomach Ludwig using words like just and should, okay, so. Yeah. Just and should is used in introduction to abuse. Whenever you hear yourself saying to your kids, just do this, or you should have done that, stop and ask yourself why you're being abusive. That's all. If other people are doing it, ask yourself, why should we? Do everything I could do, and then bed at night. Are there going to be nights when you go to bed not having done everything you could have done? Of course, that's wired into the system as well. We're not perfect. There's a stick of laziness, there's a stick of, you know, whatever. Some people have, I have blocks. I have mental blocks. I hate making cold calls. I can manage to test it. To pick up the phone and phone a guy who I've never spoken to before, as like, for me, that's mips. But part of my job, a small part of my job is fundraising. So sometimes you have to pick up the phone and do that. So sometimes I go to bed at night not having done what I was supposed to do, because I just couldn't get myself to make the call. That's also wired into the system that we're not perfect. Hashem, try again tomorrow. You know, ask Aitz or whatever. But yeah, we're not going to always have done what we're supposed to do. Talking about an ideal. But the test is not, did I succeed, did it work, didn't it work? The test is, did I do everything I was supposed to do? There's so many beautiful examples from the Brisker of life. Amazing example. The one example he brings is, hard for us to imagine such a story happening. In the big shul in Brisk, they decided that they were going to introduce a choir into the davening, which was unheard of. And the Briskerov felt that the only reason why they're doing it is not because they wanted to enhance the tefillahs, it was because they wanted to copy reform. They were starting to, the scholar was starting to penetrate to the shul, whatever, and he held it was awesome, it was never going to happen. But in the meantime, they built a platform in the shul where the choir was going to stand. The Briskerov came into shul, and the gabbai told the choir to go up. The Briskerov got up from his seat and he told them to go sit down. So they sat down. The gabbai got up and said, go back up. So he went back up. The Briskerov got up and he went and told them to get down. And this carried on a few times, and the Briskerov said he'd got to the point where he knew he didn't have energy to do this more than once. He couldn't do it more than once. He knew he was going to go up there once and that was it. He didn't have the koichos anymore. Briskerov wasn't a well man. Briskerov was ill most of his life. And he felt that he couldn't anymore. He didn't have the courage to get up there and shout for them to go down anymore. But he felt he had to try once more. So he went up once more, and he told them, please go down. And as the gabbai told them to go back up again, the Ezra's noshin curtain opened up, and the woman started screaming, as a chutzpah not to listen to the rov. Go, they talk to their husbands. Sit down and listen to the rov. And they all went and sat down quietly, and the gabbai had lost that battle. The Briskerov never davened in that shul again afterwards. He was the rov of the shul. He never davened there. He davened at home. He never went back into the shul. But he told Rav Shlomo Rons, he said, you have to do everything you have to do, even if it looks like there's no pitaronia. You know you're getting up for the last time to tell them to go down. They'll go down, the gabbai will tell them to go up again, and you know that you can't get up and tell them to go down again. You've lost, so why go up and tell them to go down again? The other question? A little longish question, but the other question? Why make the extra effort? Because you know it's not going to work. You have to do everything you have to do, even if it's ridiculous. Because it was ridiculous. The nace happened. Had the nace happened, the nace hadn't happened. As far as the Briskerov is concerned, it made no difference if the woman screamed or not. He'd done everything he could do, so he got a shim inside, did everything I could do. That's when he told him the story. That's when he told him, you have to do everything you have to do, but if there isn't one, and malasot. Yeah. Many, many, many musogim like this. We have to do everything you can, and that's not your problem. Now the wind blew, I don't know what you're holding anymore. Pei Dalet, I think we said it. Yeah, oh, yeah, we go. Okay. We're about to start Perek Zion in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. It's so the opposite of Western thinking. Western thinking says, we don't care how you get there, just get the job done. That's Western thinking. Yiddishkeit says is, do what you have to do properly according to Shulchan Aruch. What happens in the end is not your problem. It's not your business. You remember Laser Wolf, though? The diamond guy? Selwyn's partner, whatever. He was Nifta not so long ago. Interesting story about him in one of Pesach Kron's books I just read. Anyway, that happened a few weeks after we were with him. David, I took David 2 months. Interesting character. So he was one of the world's leading diamond polishers. But I'm talking about like one of the mumchim in the world, before computers did the work. So they found it, they found a diamond in something called the Star of Africa, was then the biggest diamond, whatever. They called him in to design the cuts and polishes or whatever. The leading guy. Anyway, he told me the first time he started working with doing his apprenticeship, studied and whatever, the boss called him and gave him a diamond, whatever, I don't know how much it was worth, and told him, go polish it. Now when you cleave a diamond, the first time the thing cleaves the diamond, if you don't hit it right, you can hit a fault and the diamond just crumbles. Crumbles into powder and that's it, you've lost the diamond, and nothing you can do with it. So his boss gave him this diamond and he cleaved it, it crumbled into powder. And he was terrified, that's it, that was the end of his diamond polishing career. So he took this pile of dust into his boss's room. He said he was shaking, he was a young boy, he was terrified what was going to happen. Took it in whatever, the boss went like this, and knocked it out of his hands, he said, sit down. He went to his thing, he took out a whiskey, he sat down, he said, make a l'chaim. He said, may that be the first of many, now go back to work. That's Yiddish Hashkofa. That's a Jewish Hashkofa. That's such a Jew. Can imagine that happening in the Goyish world, can never happen. That's a Yid. You did what you had to do. The end result's none of your business. Make a l'chaim and go back to work. Or it's still the Bochrim before they go dating. If she says no, you make a l'chaim. Because that's a shame. You know that you did the right thing. When you have to make a decision, yes or no, fine, you have to make a chrys. It's a nerve-wracking decision. But if she phones up and says she doesn't want to go out anymore, make a l'chaim. It's the best thing in the world that could ever happen. Hashem said no. What better skomer do you want that she's not for you than Hashem said no?
Yeah.
Go vote, gentlemen. Exercise your free democratic rights. I can't. Look at that. There's no opposition.
What?
No opposition. Everyone's happy with the guy.